Also, you can turn to the 15th chapter of Jeremiah. We're going to study for a little bit on Hezekiah's son, Manasseh. We know that, according to the Bible, he was one of the most wicked kings. And yet he had a father that pleased the Lord. We're going to break in into the first verse of the 15th chapter of Jeremiah. We're going to read this, and then we're going to kind of go on and see what's said here in Jeremiah about Manasseh and how God was going to judge the children of Israel because of what Manasseh had done. And then we're going to try to read and find out as much as we can about this king that really the Bible speaks very little of in comparison to some. The Bible says here in the first chapter, in the 15th chapter of Jeremiah, in the first verse, it said, "Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death to death, and such as are for the sword to the sword, and such as are for the famine to the famine, and such as are for the captivity to the captivity. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, and the dogs to tear, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy." You know, if they were standing there at a game show and they said, you've got four choices behind each four doors. You can pick one. There wasn't a good one amongst them, was there? It says here, "And I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem, or who shall bemoan thee, or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. And I will fan them with a fan in the gates of the land, and I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people, since they return not from their ways." He is reserved unto these, it says here, such as are for death to death, and such as are those for the sword to the sword, and such as are for the famine to the famine, and such as are for the captivity to the captivity. "And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, and the dogs to tear, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy." And why would God do this? "I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem." We could turn if you want to. We can turn into 2 Kings and the 21st chapter. We know that in the 20th chapter we find out here that this is where Hezekiah life is lengthened. It's a wonderful story, but we know because of God's mercy and grace, and because of Hezekiah turning his face as it were to the wall and praying and calling out to God, that God lengthened his days, and because of it Hezekiah done those things which angered the Lord. We find, if you study out in the scripture, that up until that point in time, that to my knowledge, that Hezekiah was a righteous king, and that he done nothing that would cause the prophet of God to come and reprimand him. We know that when Isaiah come to him and pretty much just told him that it's your time to die, and that Hezekiah turned to him, and because the Lord had lengthened his days, we know that the Babylonians come, and I guess because Hezekiah was wanting to be a diplomat, wanting to impress them, that he brought them in and he showed them all of his wealth, no doubt bragging somewhat to say, "Look at what kind of a king I am." And it angered God, and God said, more or less said, "All that your fathers have gathered before you, that's going to be hauled away. That your sons will be eunuchs there in Babylon. That your descendants, rather." But little did Hezekiah know exactly what was going to be taking place, what was going to be perpetuated, or that his grandchildren, what they'd be faced with, not because of some evil king in Babylon, but because of Hezekiah's own
son. We can read in the 21st chapter, if you would, we'll try to read there at the first verse, and it said Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. You know, there's some people that will look at a reign of a king and say because he reigned long that God approved of him, that God accepted him. Here we find Manasseh reigned 55 years. His father reigned 30-some, I believe it was. But we find here that he did evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel, before he built up again the high places which Hezekiah's father had destroyed. And he reared up altars for Baal and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven and the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire and observed times and used enchantments and dwelt with familiar spirits and wizards. And he wrought such wickedness in the sight of the Lord that it provoked him to anger. And little did I, Hezekiah, know that when Isaiah come to him and he said, "You've angered God. You should not have done this," which has provoked God to wrath. And he's going to come. That the Babylonian kings are going to come and they're going to take all that your fathers have gathered. That's your sons. That's your son's sons. Oh, be led in captivity. And they'll sit around the throne of a foreign king. A eunuch. No doubt is a kind. He saw it for his sad. It is a good thing that the Lord has blessed me with peace in my life. He accepted the prophecy that was spoken unto him. And he thanked the Lord that his eyes would not have to see it. But little did he know that a greater wickedness was going to take place at your son's sons. Out of the hands of his own son. Oh, that was become king. Oh, when he was 12 years old. Oh, and one day, as it were, I make his son pass through the fire. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles that he made his children pass through the fire. The Bible says, here we find Manasseh, that he raised a daughter in Jerusalem. And it says it in here in 2 Kings, as well as in the Chronicles, that this was something that was a great sin. That God Almighty, the God of the universe, had set up his throne in a little city called Jerusalem. He could have put it anywhere in the world, but he chose to set up his throne in the city of Jerusalem. And that Manasseh brought in these foreign gods right within his house. And he was there, we find, by what is said here, that this no doubt was the greatest sin of all. But how did he? How did he become so wicked? Surely, Hezekiah had righteous men within his kingdom. That was the institute and the teaching of Manasseh. What to be and how to respond and how to conduct himself before he was so young. And to be a king at 12 years old. I reckon Hezekiah in his old age, just as he was not wise in bringing in these foreign observers, these foreigners from a foreign land, I guess maybe Hezekiah thought they're so far away that I can show them and I can impress them and they can go back to wherever they went. Maybe his intentions were good and they can tell their rulers that the God of the Israelites is a mighty God, that He has blessed His children. I don't know what Hezekiah's motivations were. I don't know if maybe he subjected his children as well. We once preached a message about Hezekiah showing precious things to these that were evil. I don't know if he thought it would be a good thing that his children might be able to be exposed, as it were, to the nations of the world, that if they were going to be rulers, they needed to see how the rest of the world rules, what they do, and did all of that under the guise of education. We see it today where people think that we got to educate our children in all the wickedness of the world, that they have to have the knowledge of all of these things, that they're sinning today, that we have teenage pregnancy today because they've not been educated in how to conduct themselves sinfully without experience the consequences of their sin. But the Bible would have every one of us declare our children the truth, to separate them from the wickedness of this world, and not be as Hezekiah was, to dream of them to be as the prophets of old that steal away, that separated themselves from the rest of the world. Because we find here that though Manasseh was young, he obviously was not innocent and naive to the wickedness of the world, because the Bible said that he worshipped Baal as Ahab did. If you search out the scripture, we find that Ahab, that he was, that no doubt he was the evilest king in all of Israel when it came to serving Baal. And we find that Manasseh, instead of looking to his father for an example, instead of seeing that the God of Hezekiah extended his father's days, that he thought that it would be better, I don't doubt, to incorporate all these other gods. You know, the Bible speaks about them building groves on hills, and in a lot of instances it was to worship foreign gods. But if you search it out, there is a lot that were to build groves on the hill to worship the God of Israel. But God said that you were to come to Jerusalem, to come to the temple and worship me. But somebody said, I beg to differ. I reckon I can worship you on this hillside and do it much more conveniently and in anger, God. Why? Because he wants our obedience, not because he thinks his way is the right way and there is no other, but because his way is the right way, and that each and every one of us need to look to him as our God and as our Lord and Master. There's some today that think that see not the need or to bow their knee to pray, that God hears us when we bow our knee or not. And we've made the statement before that it is true that God hears us whether we bow our knee or not. But you know, given the opportunity, a humble man will choose to bow his knee, will choose to bow his head and bend his knee before his God. Why? Because he recognizes his God for who he is, a Lord and Master. That is how men show their reverence and their respect. If earthly kings demand that their subjects bow before them, how much the more that shall the children of the true and the living God bow before him? For he is due of all respect, he is due of all honor, and to bow our knee at our head is not to bow far enough for what what he deserves. But yet we find that there are people today that refuse to humble themselves. We read this here in the 21st chapter. We can go on and read in the 10th verse of the same chapter, and it says, "And the Lord spake by his servants, the prophet, saying," and here we find it's referring to what was wrote in Jeremiah. It says, "Because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedness above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore thus saith the Lord of God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle, and I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria, and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down, and I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance, and will deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which is evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger since the day of their fathers came out forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much until he hath filled Jerusalem from one end to another, because his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin, and doing that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. So then, although it says here in 2 Kings that he caused his son to pass through the fire, it says as well that because of Manasseh's sin that he had filled, as it were, that he had shed innocent blood very much until he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. So it goes along with what we could read. If you turn there in 2 Chronicles, the 33rd chapter, we find out it says as well, if you it said in the 6th verse, and he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. We find, if you study it out, whether it be in 2 Kings or 2 Chronicles, that his son reigned but 2 years, and that he was as wicked as his father. And it said, but he humbled himself not as his father did. Because though it does not record in 2 Kings that Manasseh went into captivity, we find it in 2 Chronicles. And we can read, and as we was reading that this week, sit there in all of God's mercy, that God, who is a righteous God, who had placed Manasseh there as king, and Manasseh at a young age as well, and he reigned 55 years, we find him that he, the Bible says, he was more wicked than the heathen kings, that the heathen kings raised up and they worshiped, as it were, their false gods that were handed down to them from generation to generation. But that a king of Judah would be more wicked, that would serve these false gods more intently
than the heathens themselves. Is to say that he was a mighty evil man. For that when Hezekiah, when it was prophesied to him by the prophet of God, that his children would sit as eunuchs around the Babylonian throne, we could say, this surely, this is what kings did.
We know that there was one king, that he would conquer. He would conquer kingdoms, and he would take the king's children, and he'd cut off their thumbs, and he'd cut off their big toes, and they would sit in his palace, and he was surrounded, as it were, by all the nobility of other kingdoms, and he'd walk in there, and he'd say, "I'm a mighty man." And he would look at his false god, and he says, "Look what my false God has provided me with. All of this nobility. And because of who I am, they bow before me. They hobble about, limped over. Whether they would want to bow or not, they sit beneath me." So that we would hear a prophet of God to say, "Hezekiah, because of your ignorance, because of your disobedience, your sons shall be eunuchs." We could say, well, it would go, that would be a reasonable understanding, that if Hezekiah's descendants would be led into captivity, surely the royalty would be subjected to such as was spoken. But that Manasseh, his own son, done that which was even more evil than the Babylonian kings did to Hezekiah's descendants when he took his children, no doubt in the midst of turmoil, no doubt Manasseh had consulted. He had consulted the familiar spirits. He had consulted the prophets of Baal. When the foreign invaders begin to come, and he thought, "What can I do?" I don't know if someone whispered in his ear, or if he was just so evil himself, that he looked and he said, "Surely the gods of Baal will answer me and will honor me if I take one of my children." And sacrifice them at the altar. Maybe that familiar spirit said, "Yes, this is what you must do." And he did. To no avail. His answer did not come. The Bible teaches me in the 9th chapter, or in the 9th verse of the 33rd chapter of 2 Chronicles, that he was led into captivity. And after killing his children, maybe that's why his son was such a failure. Can you imagine? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that if he took his firstborn, that he took the best, the one that he was raising up to be king. And thought, what good will it be for him to be king? It would do me well to sacrifice him. So to save, as it were, the kingdom. But to no avail. When his son, I believe his name was Ammon, began to reign, we find that he was evil. I wonder how he felt. I wonder what kind of resentment he felt toward his father. And that, "I'm now in power." I don't know if he contributed it to the fate of the gods, or that his father hated him. If it would go normal as people worship, that they took their best. They took their those things with most promise. Maybe Ammon thought that he was a failure, and that he was the one that was left to be king. That his father had killed the very best, had killed his siblings. I can't even imagine what the dynamics must have been in that family. But we find that he followed the example of his father and his wickedness. But it says in the 9th verse, it says, "So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to the people, but they would not hearken.
Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains and the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him it with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Now just think about it. I want to just step back for a minute. And look at the mercy of God. This was somebody, I don't know about you. We were talking about it at work. That no greater sin could there be. There is no more evil in this world. In the minds of a lot of people. Than the sin that is committed against little children. You know what I'm talking about. A guy at work was saying, he said, in my mind, he said, there is nothing that could be more wicked than somebody that would destroy the innocence of a child. Somebody that would harm a child. When we was in Alabama, we was in a gas station, and we seen this paper, and it said Bama Busty. And I looked again, and I thought, Bama Busty. They must call Obama Obama for sure. But it wasn't Bama Busted, it was Bama Busted. Because that's what people call Alabama when they shorten it. We started seeing it on signs as we drove through the town. It said Bama. So it wasn't pronounced Bama. But me, and I don't know how to pronounce it before. We ever heard about this fella named Obama. But it was Bama Busted. And it was a paper that had 5 counties in it. And I guess it comes out 4 times a year. And it has all the mug shots of everybody that's been arrested within that period of time. And we see, as we flip through it, they had a section for weird mug shots. Then they had a section, I think they called it Hot Girls Gone Bad. And it was the photos of women that looked rather attractive in that section. But several of them, their mascara had run. And you could tell that they'd been boo-hooing before the picture was taken. And in that particular section, you don't know why they were arrested. But as we flipped through it, we thought that this was interesting. That somebody had come together and it was like a newspaper and it cost 99 cents. And I bought it. And I thought somebody, some entrepreneur, I thought this is a way of making money. And he put it together. And it had those that were wanted in it as well. But in the center portion of it, it had all the sex offenders. And it told, what was the crime? Whether it was with a 6-year-old or this or that. And to our horror, though half of them looked deviant and evil, the other half looked normal. And I'd have to say, in my mind, there is not a lower creature on this earth. But yet when God looks down, he says he sees sin in the life of me or in the life of you. And it separates us from God. And here we find that Manasseh was so evil that he not only consulted, as it were, evil spirits that saw them. But not only did he pray and sacrifice to Baal, but he actually caused his children to pass through the fire. Because of his actions, the Bible says that he had judged all Israel because of the sins of Manasseh. That the Assyrian kings come and they led him away captive. That the prophet told Hezekiah that your sons are going to be led away to
Jesus himself that infected so many people when he got to Babylon, when he was sitting in the thorns, when he was sitting amongst those stones, and he turned his face to God. And God, what manner of man is this? Jesus Christ, who is betrayed here? And we see the love that God has for his children. I can't begin to understand it. That God sees it all. He sees the little face of his children. Oh, and they were family. To their father, he took them there and offered them love. The lost God, that's what the Bible says, that never even entered up the true and living God. And because Manasseh was so wicked, the Bible says, but he caused all Israel to sin, and he turned his face to God, and he repented. He humbled himself and he repented. And the Bible teaches me that God did not keep him where he was at, but that he restored his kingdom. That he was able to go back to Jerusalem. If you read further, not only did he, was he able to go back to Jerusalem and be, as it were, a propped up show king, but the Bible says that he built a wall and extended the walls of Jerusalem, that he built walled cities and he placed guards about, and that he destroyed all the prophets of Baal, and he removed the altars from the temple, and that he removed all idol worship, though there was still. And it said, even though there was the high places, that they worshiped God, the true God in the high places. Now this still displeased God, but it was an idol worship. And so we find him here. Now that when Pharaoh did that, the mercy of God just overwhelmed me. But the key point I want us to understand is that Manasseh humbled himself and repented. He did not find himself back in Jerusalem because he was Hezekiah's son. We know that it had already been prophesied, bless your heart, that Hezekiah's children would sit around the king of Babylon as eunuchs. But Manasseh come back to Israel. Bless your earth, Lord of God. No, our God made a way. And he can humble yourself. And repent. And he can restore us. The language was lost in part. We find that it was in part because each individual must make the same decision. Let's step back from it a little bit. And let's look at Amnon, Manasseh's son, who was raised in a pluralistic understanding of God. Believed in what is called today pluralism. That he'd seen his God, or he'd seen his father rather, worship many idols. And no doubt the repentance of his father was just another phase that his father went in. I wonder that he could not even begin to look at his father with respect, because this was the man that had killed his siblings. This is the man that maybe had killed his brother. You know, we find the dynamics. We can see it in part with David and David's children. He had many wives, and we know that there was some children that were raised, as it were, strangers from each other. We don't know the dynamics in Manasseh's courtyard, but we can only speculate that maybe even some of these children that passed through the fire was Ammon's best friends. And he looked at his father. Watched his father repent. And he come back from Babylon. No doubt he might have seen a broken man. A man that was not as mighty as he once was. A man that served many gods and come back to serve but one. That there's no doubt was just another phase in his life. But I will serve the God that my father served in his glory. No doubt his father could not reach him. Or had he reached him, he would have told Ammon to repent. But God was already working. And though Manasseh had reigned for 55 years, and in that point in time, he was a runaway captive, and then his kingdom was restored. We know that his son reigned but two. And he was such a wicked man and so arrogant, no doubt, and so hard to be around, that his own servants conspired to kill him. And they did. And the Bible don't tell us if there was some kind of conspiracy, we'll kill this king, we'll make ourselves to be king. For this has happened many times in the nation of Israel, as well as Judah. But the people rose up, and that Bible says they killed those that had killed Manasseh's son. Now listen, what a confusing time it must have been in Judah. The king could kill his sons and offer them to idols, and the people would not raise up. But somebody else killed the king's son, and it angered him, and they destroyed him. And they placed Josiah, when he was about 8 years old. And this is what amazes me. Hezekiah was a righteous king. The Bible says so. And at the young age of 12 years old, Manasseh became king. But because of no doubt choices that Hezekiah made in his life that he did not realize would affect his son Manasseh, it apparently did. But yet we find that Manasseh, though he was a wicked man, that in his later years, I don't know. One could only speculate. But though Ammon was one that no doubt hated his father, I wonder if Manasseh spent time with his grandchild. If he spent a little bit of time with Josiah. And he said, look, I know your father don't love me. He has every right in the world to hate me. I killed his sisters. I killed his brothers. When I was serving a false god. But Josiah, I want to tell you something. I serve a true and living God now. And I don't know how long the Lord would allow your father to be king. But if the Lord would allow you to be king, I want you to give your heart to him. And sure enough, in the death of Manasseh, Josiah would have no doubt been about 6 years old. And what can a six-year-old remember? God's hand was at work, was it not? Because he had placed those in the life of Josiah that wanted to serve the Lord. Don't hold me to it, but I believe it's Obadiah. I could be wrong. Maybe it's not. But there was one of the minor prophets that came and prophesied during Josiah's reign. There's a Bible theologians that speculate that he come and he prophesied before the great revival. There was a great revival that took place during Josiah's reign, and it took a little child. It took a little child to lead a nation to repent and turn their face to God. We see that Manasseh turned his heart to the Lord. But this is, for whatever reason, how the Lord works.
And that there's been a many a time that leaders of nations have caused men to sin. And whether that leader repents or not, each and every one of us are accountable for our own actions.
Right.
We can't stand and say, Lord, it was because Obama was president. We can't say, Lord, it was because George Bush the first or the second or any other president was president. That we can't say, well, Lord, it's because I was in Lack Lee County, Missouri, why I couldn't find a decent church. Lord, I tried. I went here and I went there and I set up for this. But the Lord has placed at the heart of everyone's door, at the door of everyone's heart, rather, the decision to be made on their own. I'm thankful that in certain generations that decision has been made easier than others. I know that there has been times to say that you are a born-again Christian was to sign your own death warrant. The Bible, or not, history teaches us, not the Bible rather, that you would think, how could you get a new convert? How could you persuade somebody to be a Christian when as soon as they think they would be put to death? But we find in history that there are several places that it was recorded where the organized church, if you want to call it, was putting men to death because they had no better sense than to believe what the Bible said and not to believe men's traditions, that they would not deny the Word of God and accept the lie that they were led out to be tied to a stake and burned. And there they testified to the people there. And the people who took part, who led them away, the guards that tied them to the stake, seen their faith and knew that it was real, and stood and said, I must too be burned at the stake. I rejoice in this simple fact that whether times will get hard in my generation or not, one thing is true, that the fires of tribulation purifies the church, that the preachers that are preaching for the Almighty Dollar, they all of a sudden quit preaching, that the people that are in church for political or financial connections leave the church, and the true church stands up and stands to glorify the true and the most high God. So let us, as we get some song to sing, let us look at the life of Manasseh. God is a merciful God, that He would forgive a king that, as it were, the Bible said, filled Jerusalem with the blood of innocent. Caused Jerusalem to be led away captive. And yet that man, when he humbled himself and repented, God forgave. But this is how things work, don't it? The people always seem to want to follow the bad example, but never the good. The people that idolized, no doubt, Manasseh in his wickedness, discounted his salvation as a senile, broken man attempting to hold on to his kingdom. They disregarded it all. And no doubt they did that because of his past poor judgments. How can we trust Manasseh? He killed his own children. Do you realize there was people, no doubt, that didn't worship anything? That worshiped themselves? Oh, they pay the prophet of Baal money so he might say something good about them, and they'd go and they'd sacrifice a lamb to the God of Israel so that they could play all the sides of it, but they believed nothing. And they believed in nothing but themselves. And they looked at Manasseh and they said,
How can we believe anything? He said, he killed his own children. He killed royalty. He killed the next king of Israel as he sacrificed him to Baal. And I am a worshiper of some other god, and he should have killed him in worship of this other god. We live in a culture today that anything's right as long as you believe it. Sounds to me like the same thing that was taking place in Manasseh's life. But God will forgive. And He'll forgive you. But let us live a life that is an example to all men. Though God will restore those that humble themselves, let us live a life that is an example to mankind, so that we might do more than save ourselves in our old age. That we might be an example to all. Because our lives and the choices that we make truly affect the people we touch. Go ahead. Maybe Manasseh's son that became king thought, well, when I'm led away captive, I'll repent like my father did. Not realizing that his very own servants would slay him in his sleep. We have no promise of tomorrow. That is why it is important unto each and every one of us that today is the day of repentance. Today is the day of salvation if we would but call on Him. But this is the bitter truth of all of that. Today is the day of salvation. Today could be the day of damnation if we heed not the Word of God and we continue on our way and refuse to follow the Lord where He would say go.